This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, October 29th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll hear the recollections of a former State Department official from September 11th. We'll also get a forecast for the upcoming week from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. Filing has begun for a wide range of party nominations in February's Illinois primary election. Voters choose nominees ranging from president and Congress to the state legislature to county offices and precinct committee people. The filing began this morning and runs through next Monday at the close of business. Illinois moved its primary up from late March to the February 5th date to be a bigger factor in the presidential nominating process. 16 other states have done the same. Illinois Senior Senator Dick Durbin's seat is up for re-election this year, as are all members of the U.S. House and Illinois House and half the seats in the state Senate. Illinois Senator Mike Frerich says the time is right to begin researching the concept of a graduated income tax. The Democrat from Champaign is the treasurer of a new campaign fund that aims to lobby voters on a plan that would tax a greater percentage of the earnings for those with higher incomes. Frerich says it's only fair to Illinoisans since it's been done at the federal level for decades. Placing a constitutional amendment on ballots to support the plan requires a 3/5 majority vote in both the House and Senate. Frerich says convincing voters to back it, though, will be more difficult.
We have time to gauge opinion, but also to build up a campaign to really push for this, because I'm hopeful that we can get this passed out of the state Senate, but we're also going to need to pass this with the public, and that's going to be a long process.
Frerich says with no clear indication of when senators will come back to Springfield, there's time for them to discuss this in their home districts. The senator says if a plan for graduated income tax can pass, it could build momentum for an income tax for property tax swap proposal, with the ultimate goal being better education funding. Similar legislation sponsored by Frerich failed to make any progress this year. A state lawmaker says the state should step in and prevent security guard layoffs at National Guard sites. Sean Crawford has that story.
20 guards, most of them military veterans based in Springfield, Decatur, Marseilles, and North Riverside, could be out of work this week if the layoffs happen as scheduled. The guards work for the state, but money for their positions comes from the federal government. Federal budget cuts have placed the jobs in jeopardy. The state says it has no choice but to let the guards go and hire a private firm instead. Bob Flyder says that's a slap in the face to those who've served their country. He's a Democratic state representative from Mount Zion. Flyder says he was told those targeted for layoffs don't have the necessary training to handle security.
I did write a letter to the governor encouraging him to rethink this. I just can't imagine that a private security guard is any more qualified than an Illinois combat veteran to guard a building. And I think that intuitively people ought to understand that and should realize that.
Flyder says Illinois should consider using state funds to cover any additional training the guards need. He says the guards deserve better treatment by the state because they're veterans. I'm Sean Crawford.
A 24-year-old state trooper has died in a three-vehicle crash near Iliopolis. Trooper Brian McMillan was responding to a local police agency early Sunday when the accident happened northeast of Springfield. Police say the drivers of two other vehicles face charges of aggravated driving under the influence and improper lane usage. In a statement, the Illinois State Police called it a truly sad day for the law enforcement community. McMillan is a 2005 graduate of the University of Illinois Springfield. The native of Pena completed ISP's training program in February and was president of his cadet class. President Bush's nomination for Attorney General has hit a snag, and Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin is one of the leaders who are expressing concerns. Lynette Kalsness has more.
The hearings for Judge Michael Mukasey appeared to be going smoothly until the question of torture came up. Mukasey has refused to say whether waterboarding, a controversial technique that makes people feel like they're drowning, is torture and unconstitutional. Durbin and some other Judiciary Committee members are not satisfied with that response.
This administration has compromised standards and values on torture and treatment of prisoners that we have respected for generations. And I want to make certain that this new Attorney General is going to restore the image of this country by making it very clear that torture is not the policy of the United States of America.
Durbin says his vote hinges on whether Mukasey agrees with him that waterboarding is a form of torture. Mukasey needs 10 votes for his nomination to go to the full Senate with a favorable recommendation. I'm Lynette Kalsnes.
Some weather experts would like to see all of Indiana included in National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration maps outlining the Tornado Alley portion of the U.S. They think the designation may help prevent complacency about the violent storms. But the agency's website calls Tornado Alley a nickname with no official boundary. Indiana frequently sees spring tornadoes and had a fall one hit October 18th in Napanee. No one was killed, but damage estimates for that community are expected to climb past $10 million. The American Meteorology Society defines Tornado Alley as the area of the U.S. where tornadoes are most frequent. Indiana ranked 15th in the number of tornadoes and 6th in both fatalities and injuries from 1950 to 1994. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Mark Grossman was the third-ranking official in the U.S. State Department on the day terrorists crashed planes into the World Trade Center towers and the Pentagon. During a recent talk at the University of Illinois College of Law, Grossman recounted his 9/11 experiences, which ranged from shock and foreboding to black humor.
So we came to work on the 11th of September thinking it would be any other day. And I actually was in a meeting in the Deputy Secretary of State's office on the 7th floor of the State Department. And as you can imagine, one of his assistants came in and said, "Better look at the TV." And so we watched the television, and the first plane hit the World Trade Center, and all we could think at the time was, what a terrible, terrible thing to have happen. When the second plane hit, the Deputy Secretary, Rich Armitage, said, "This is terrorism." He didn't doubt it for a second. This is terrorism. And he said, "You all need to go back now and act as if this is a terror attack." So I went down the hall to my own office, and we had in my office overlooked the Lincoln Memorial and the Pentagon, big glass windows. And we had a television set kind of put in the crook of the window. And a number of my staff, you can imagine, were watching television. And as they were watching the World Trade Centers burn, this airplane right in front of us hits the Pentagon. And our windows shake, and the smoke comes up. So I hit the button to the Undersecretary for Management, whose office is around on the other side of the building, and I said, "Grant, I said, a plane has just hit the Pentagon. I don't know what's happening here, but you could imagine that we might be next. And you can't see this, but I can see it. The Pentagon's burning. And my recommendation to you is that we evacuate this building right now." And so we decided that we would evacuate our employees from our building, that we would open our alternative command center, which is in Arlington, and that a number of us would fall back to the operations center there at the State Department, which we did. We then had to figure out, now, what are we supposed to do now? And we decided that among the things that we had to do, the first three things that we had to do was, one, we heard that our military forces had raised the threat level, threat con across our nation, and we thought it would probably be smart to let the Russians and the Chinese know that although we were raising our threat level, that it was not directed at them, that we had just had this terrible tragedy. And so I made calls both to Russia and to China to let them know that, you know, you're going to see an increase in American military activity. We're not taking advantage of this. Just, you know, you be calm. We'll deal with our problem. We also realized that we didn't know how long we were going to be there, and that we didn't know how many planes were in the air, and that the State Department maybe egotistically seemed to us a possible target. So we sent a cable in our names to Rich and my names to all of our ambassadors abroad, and we said, something terrible's happened in the United States. We have no idea what's going to happen next. We don't know how long we're going to be here, and we expect you now to carry out your responsibilities in a way that will make the public proud. And we signed it. We sent it, thinking that we didn't have time to be answering a lot of questions about what people were supposed to do. We had to rely on them to do their own jobs. Secretary Powell was at that time in Peru, so he was on his way back, and I went to Andrews to pick him up at, I don't know, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and took him to the White House, briefed him and took him to the White House, and we worked then through the evening as best we could. When I got ready to go home, the sort of only semi-humorous part of this, when I got ready to go home, I walked out of the operations center and there were a number of bodyguards there waiting to take me home. So they were nice enough to drop me off at home. And I find out, of course, that the next morning and during the next day, as they set up these guards at the house, a huge debate sparks in the neighborhood. You know, I wonder if this is good or bad. You know, good because, gosh, we get some protection. Bad because maybe they think he's a target. And so there was sort of this move around the neighborhood to see if I might maybe go to a hotel for a few weeks.
Mark Grossman, former Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs, told his 9/11 experiences to a lecture audience last week at the University of Illinois. Grossman says up until that day, State Department officials were working to prevent a possible terrorist attack, but thought the attack would occur outside the U.S. The next couple days will be clear throughout the two-state area, according to our meteorologist Ed Keyser. Sunshine today, with highs ranging from 60 in northeast Indiana to 66 in southwest Illinois, 64 in Champaign-Urbana, with a south wind at 6 to 12 miles an hour. Tonight, clear skies, the lows from 32 in some southern locations to 42 in northern and west central Illinois, 38 the low in Champaign County. For tomorrow, sunny again, the highs from 64 in northeast Indiana to 72 in southwest Illinois, 68 in Champaign-Urbana. Clear tomorrow night in Champaign, the low 46, 66 with sun in the morning and some clouds in the afternoon on Wednesday. And Thursday, sunny again with a high of around 60. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, October 29th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.